Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, we're going to talk about tabletop role-playing again.
Woohoo!
But not a specific game, not, you know, advice. Well, some, but...
Well, it's definitely advice.
More of a discussion that's something that I think every GM has to deal with at some point. And it's probably one of the more frustrating things about being a game master, especially in a new group. And that's trying to keep the story cohesion together when you have players.
It's not exactly as frustrating as you make it out to be.
Well,
I mean, the whole point of low-level characters is figuring out what you want to be.
Sure, so, sure.
Yeah. You've got characters who are like, you know, I thought this would be a great idea, and, you know, we played a couple sessions, and I'm just not feeling it. Could I switch to a different character? Most definitely.
Well, I don't have a problem with that being someone who's recently switching to a different character. Or
but
at least
you know what?
Trying one out.
Well, and that's just it. Even experienced players, they might think this is a great idea. They've got all kinds of, you know, time invested into it. And then they just like, eh, it's just kind of meh. I'm just not feeling it. I want to do something different.
Sure. That's
by all means. Go ahead.
That's not really what I was trying to point out. I mean, changing is fine. I guess it can be a problem, though, when you're in the middle of a story, it's based around these characters, it's not in between adventures, this is, they're out doing things, and then someone walks in with, I know I was playing this rogue, but I want to be this mage now.
Well, you're going to have to continue playing the rogue until we can... find a way to switch the character out.
Yeah, but I don't have the rogue with me. I left it at home.
Well,
I want to play my mage.
Then you better figure out a way to recreate your rogue because you're not swapping out yet. Not until it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
But there are people that try that.
Yes, they can try that all they want. If you want to try that with me, fine. Don't come back.
See, now that's... I think you actually handle it really well with our current... D&D 5e group.
Because everybody's been respectful saying, hey, I have this character idea. Could we fit this character in and I'll just, you know, move the other character out?
Yeah. But you allow it when we're in between adventures
and
a story appropriate part.
Right.
And even if, you know, I've been writing this grand epic story as a game master and I had these characters in mind, the ones we started with, they were going to work it all the way up, and now the rogue wants to be a mage. Okay, well, we kind of needed that rogue, but, you know, it was kind of a large part of the storyline dealt with the rogue. Well, he wants to play a mage now. Okay, well, as a game master, it's your job to adapt and
so we'll
make
adapt.
It work. Fine. But that can be quite difficult, and it's hard to... A mage is nothing like a rogue. Maintaining
right.
that story integrity can be very difficult.
It can be. But as long as the player is respectful to the DM, gives them notice, then it's up to the DM to try his best or her best to make the appropriate changes to adjust to suit. Yes, I've had plans that were centered around a couple characters, and those characters are not going to be a part of the group anymore. I'm not changing the story as much as I could, that, you know, the plans I had, I'm not changing them as much as I could because it's possible those characters will come back.
Yes.
But I'm not counting on that, so I'm leaving enough open-ended. So the path can go however it goes. It's just been strange lately because when, you know, the first, when we first started, we had five players. And then when we, after, you know, a couple adventures, three of them just kind of like fell by the wayside. They just had, you know, life came up. And so we stopped playing for a little while. And then when we got back together, we had, you know, three new people. And one of the old people came back. So now, instead of having five, we've got seven. And so just kind of roll with it and blend it back together. And now we've got another couple characters who want to switch out. And so I was able to get, you know, a plausible reason as to why they're leaving. And these people are, you know, replacing them.
We still ended up with three rogues, though.
Yes, I know. But you know what? It is what it is. They're not going to have a lot of trouble with lockpicking or traps.
They'll just keep taking turns.
That's fine with me, because you know what? They're taking turns, and then somebody flubs it. And if and since I'm, you know, real, I really don't like metagaming, nobody knows that they flubbed it, even though they all heard the critical failure.
Uh-huh.
They have to play like they didn't know.
Yep.
So...
But here's the thing, though, and you kind of touched on it before, is that it's one thing where somebody walks in and goes, I don't want to play my rogue anymore. I want to play a mage. And you tell them, no, we're mid-adventure. You'll have to wait until it's a story-appropriate point. You're still playing your rogue until then. That's fine. What about when the rogue just doesn't show up? And you kind of needed that character because it's a trap-heavy dungeon they're in the middle of, and that person just... forgot, or oh, I made other plans, or oh, you know, whatever, well, and it's just blew it off.
No, what I've done as a precaution for that exact setup, I've been trying to keep track of everybody's characters. So if the rogue doesn't show up and we needed that rogue for this adventure, then I hand that character sheet to one of the other players, and I ask them if they'd be willing to also play the rogue just to help out. So they have the skills available that they needed. If I don't have that character sheet, then I will bring out one of my pre-generated NPCs to fill that role. I have one of all the more necessary roles, like a fighter, to act as a meat shield if you need it. A rogue for the traps, you know, a cleric if in case the healer's not available. If they're down on DPS, I've got a wizard, that sort of thing.
That gets kind of weird, though, when you've got, let's say, three players, two of them don't show, you've only got one left, you're down two people. Is the third, the one who showed, supposed to play all the characters, or are you going to just...
No, NPC. We're going to call the game. If they don't show up, then we'll just postpone to another day.
Well, that kind of sucks for the person who showed up, or people showed up.
And the person who showed up is going to get, I'm going to make notations that this person showed up and the other two didn't. So when it comes time to doling out experience or inspiration or what have you, I'm going to be looking more favorably on the person who showed up. And I know it sounds harsh, but the roles might start to go the way of the player who actually shows up for the adventures than the ones who blow it off. The ones who blow it off, you know, maybe they get a critical hit that, you know, kills their character or F's up their character, or their spiffy magic sword gets eaten by a rust monster.
Yes, but is that really going to encourage them to change their behavior and be more likely to show up when everyone arranged for the next game?
I'm not trying to get them to change their behavior. I won't tell them that this is because of this, because that's petty.
Of course not.
But as a GM, maybe the roles won't go their way. Maybe the monsters will hit them more often.
They're certainly not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
No, they are not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
It's not going to be this guy has been to every one of the games, and he loves his character, and he's worked hard, and, oh, man, an unlucky roll, and he's going to fall to his death. And he's going to manage to catch that twig that nobody thought was actually there, and he was able to save himself at the last moment. Whereas, they keep blowing off the damn games, and they, I guess you better, here's the character sheet, reroll.
No, if they blow off the game once, okay, I'll take that in stride. Twice, I'm going to talk to him. More than that, you need to find another gaming group.
There is that, too.
I don't have the time to invest in this game only to have players just not show up. If there's a good reason for it, don't worry, dude. Life is more important. But if you're just not showing up for random reason,
I wanted to go to the club.
You know, it's just not, it's not fair to the players. It's not fair to me.
Yeah.
Because getting a game ready takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people who can just off the cuff, just make something up as I go. I'm trying to build a world, and I'm building this world through with the players.
Yeah.
And so that takes a huge investment of time and energy. And if you're just not going to respect the game, I don't need you. I don't care if you're my best fucking friend. I don't need you in my game. Period.
Yeah. Now, one thing I would look at in a situation where you got an unstable group, you got people that occasionally just can't make it, but you're in the middle of something, or you got this one person who just keeps changing characters or whatever. In a case where it's just not feasible to make the game work with the players you have to continue on with the story you were doing from the last session into the next, if there's just not enough people or whatever, it's just, you know, there's too many changes. Is there somebody else in the group that is a GM? Let them run a one shot.
Yeah.
So you can play. You're rewarded because you're there. You came. You're obviously there for every session. You get to play. Everyone takes a little time making up some characters, different characters, and they play that game.
Well, and like the adventure that we ran when Mike's character joined the group,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything planned because I didn't want to bring out one of the ideas that I'd already had laid out until we had, you know, a full group. So we did that short little, you know, goblins attacking the farm kind of adventure.
Are you saying the epic battle of the pig farm was not a pre-planned adventure?
No.
Okay.
That was just, I wanted to bring a character in, and that was the easiest way I could think of to do it. Since he was part of the militia, he gets brought along with the militia to defend the pig farm.
And that basically turned into Saving Private Ryan at a pig farm.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that was a fairly epic little battle for, well, he was level one and we were level two characters.
Yeah.
Surrounded by goblins. Farmhands dying everywhere.
Not just farmhands, most of the militia died too. It was like 6 out of 10 died.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was a thing that happened.
Yes. But that's the wondrous part about being a DM is being able to say, you know, okay, I don't wanna use this, so we're gonna have to make a change. I'm gonna have to do something different. Because the full group is not going to be available for good reasons. So let's do this instead. And we did. And it worked out great.
Side story.
Yes. Side quest.
Yes.
And that side quest got you a mount.
Yep. For a character I'm swapping out.
It doesn't matter. If you want to come back to that character, you will have him available.
Sure. And I'm not saying I don't want to play him ever again. Just I want to try something different.
And that's perfectly fine with me. It's just I'm wondering who the tank's going to be.
Well,
Paladin maybe?
I'm assuming the Paladin, who used to be playing a Ranger.
Because the Cleric is not very good at being a tank.
No, he's not.
Well, he's not.
He's a martial cleric.
He's good armor, but he doesn't have a lot of hit points.
No.
As we found out a couple times.
Yes.
Cleric's down.
That's the thing, is the naked barbarian, my character, was the best tank and now is gone. So it's going to hopefully encourage him to play better martially, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, no, he's doing his character as he sees fit, and that is perfectly fine.
I suppose so.
I'm of a mind that how often have you seen him play clerics?
True. He's more usually the barbarian with the greatsword.
Right.
You know what? If I have to...
Let him learn his role. He'll be fine.
I've got the spell cards for cleric. I will make a war cleric, and I will step in there and be a war cleric if need be.
No, I want you to play what you want to play.
Well, I bought the cards because I usually play a war cleric, so...
I understand that. But you were keen on this warlock idea.
Oh, no. I really like the warlock. Hopefully it'll go well, but if it doesn't... Oh!
And we will work with that when the time comes.
Yeah. Just kind of tired of the war cleric thing. That's why the barbarian came out. And then the barbarian was like, well, yeah. And you know, it's almost like the Battle of the Pig Farm was kind of, it felt like a last hurrah for the concept. Even that early on, it just, he was not a lot of fun.
That's just not your type of character.
It's quirky. Oh, it's quirky as heck. 18 armor class, naked? Yeah, that's super quirky. But, yeah. I'm going to try a spellcaster. Yeah. I don't usually do spellcasters.
Well, it's just interesting seeing, you know, another player who, you know, is known for playing spellcasters, playing a rogue. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
We have three rogues. In the group.
Yes, but one of those rogues
they're
is
all
actively
different.
Going, but that one rogue is actively going Arcane Trickster.
Well, we haven't seen that yet, though.
Yes, they got to get to the right level before so they can do that.
Yes. And then there's the Tinker Rogue, who is interesting.
Yes.
Only acts roguelike when needed, and needed like to a trap or pick a lock. Otherwise, I'm not sure what they are. Well, they shoot bows.
Just wait till she starts creating explosives.
Well, there's that.
Or firearms.
But then there's the other rogue who just kind of is there. I couldn't
First
even
adventure?
Tell you. I couldn't even
First
tell you.
Adventure?
No. I think she's doing a great... Sorry. I think he's doing a great job because I don't remember what his race is.
Human, I think.
I know it's a rogue. That's it. That's how well he blends into the background. Just kind of there. Until he needs to not be. Then he's... Yeah. So it's like... I'm not sure what to make of that.
Well,
but definitely doing the rogue thing right. You know, rogues are supposed to be stealthy. And in the shadows. And not noticed.
Yes, but...
And Nick's rogue does that very well.
Hiding. Every opportunity they get.
Yeah. I keep doing the whole he-she thing, because I'm used to him playing a female, and...
I know.
It's a dude this time, so okay. Trying to remember.
Yes. So, in totality, it's not really as bad as you think. From this side of the screen, if they want to do it immediately, tough shit. You've committed to this character, we're in the middle of an adventure... It's not fitting to the narrative to just change characters. If you want to change characters, I will do that for you. But it's going to be my way, not yours, and you may not like the results.
Because
there's all kinds of spells that can change somebody from one thing to another.
Sure. I mean, it's not even the in the middle of an adventure part of thing. I mean, it could be just as devastating to a storyline if you did the dungeon, you've come back to town, and while at town, the rogue who is central to the plot for for the upcoming adventure is now a mage.
Well, and that's why I try very hard not to make any one of the characters central to the plot. Now, if I'm running a part of the story arc that's based around that character's backstory, well, then Buttercup, you need to stay for this, or, you know, we're going to have to make some changes because we're doing this to, to work on your character's backstory.
There are ways you can make it work, though.
Yes,
there are. In fact, ways to get people really invested into the game would be a quick, violent change. I mean, you take the player aside and say, you do not want to play this rogue anymore. Nope. Okay. So you're going to be the rogue briefly. And right at the start, you're off doing your thing. Rogue gets assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the players are doing a side story one shot investigating.
It still ties into that person's backstory, even though they're dead.
Yes. Investigating who killed Rogue with this new mage they just brought in to assist.
Yep.
Great way to get the new character involved and to make a clean break from the other with still bringing in their backstory, bringing in the points you needed for your continuing storyline. It could continue over many adventures looking into who was really behind it and why they wanted to do it. And it makes actually more of a legend out of that level 2 rogue that really wasn't anything, but for the overall storyline, huge deal. And it would
work. The idea from my side of the screen is protect the narrative the best you can. Protect your story, protect the what you're building. And if the players can't deal with that, then you're going to have to make changes, and they may or may not like what you have to do to keep the story intact. Because I don't want somebody who's going to come in and just absolutely tear apart everything I've been working on just because my pussy hurts.
True enough.
Yes, I know.
And it, again, as a game master, you can't take it personally either.
No. But I'm working with a whole group of players. One individual player is not important enough to get to screw up everybody else's fun because they want to make a change. You can either wait, or I'll make the change for you, and you're probably not going to be too thrilled with the results.
Yeah, I'm Dungeon Master, I do try to be accommodating to the players as much as possible. And maybe that's kind of a downside for me. Maybe it's, you know, I'm more willing to, okay, yeah, you can make that change, but obviously not in the middle of a dungeon. Why does your mage just pop out from behind a rock and the rogue goes away? No, maybe not. But does the rogue have when everyone wakes up in the morning, there's a blood-stained trail drug out the doorway and a wreckage where their character was. Oh no, they're missing. And then shortly on down the way, while they're looking for him, held in a cage is this mage who's been, you know, captured, and now you're rescuing them. Although it's gonna be hard to do without the rogue who would have picked the lock on the cell, but whatever, you'll find a way in, won't you?
No, you just find the wizard's spell book and give it to him because he has the Nox spell that he can learn.
And then, pop, he's out.
Yeah.
And so there are ways to make that work that are, you know, obviously not the best, but you can make it work. It's just,
you do your best to try and keep the group happy, but as long as they're just not, you know, running roughshod over you.
And unfortunately, that is the problem, where they start to expect that, well, you know, you made it work for them, you know, you let that guy change, so, you know, is it such a big deal that I just didn't show up in this adventure? Or that, I brought my girlfriend along, she wants to try and play. And then they never come back. And all the little complications that players, in their annoying ways, always manage to bring out.
Yes. But part of the great features of D&D is once you get a group together and they've been playing together for a while, they're less likely to do that. They're less likely to want to swap out characters because they found a character that they're actually, you know, invested in.
True.
And they don't want to miss out on the next adventure. They want to keep going. They want to see what's happening. They want to be a part of the story as it unfolds. So the longer the group's been together, the more likely it is you're not going to have those issues. That's why with the group we have, we've been friends for a long time.
Decades.
And so most of this is just, you know, if they need to make a change, by all means.
Sure.
I mean, but they understand. We'll make the change as soon as is appropriate.
Exactly. I mean, I'm only referring back to our most recent story, you know, the last year, because mm-hmm. this is the what we're playing now. And really the problems that I've been bringing up here don't really apply here because you're not having people ask to change in the middle of a dungeon. You're not having people just not show up for a game.
Right.
We have difficulties getting together, but that's more because, well,
we have lives and jobs.
We're all adults and we have lives and stuff. So yeah, we make things work. People understood, hey, we played the last 2 weeks in a row, but we need to record a podcast this morning and I got to sleep at some point. So this week we're not playing and we're not going to play every weekend anyway.
Because I needed more than just 1 week to start fleshing out the storyline for where you're going next.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be really, this is more problems I've seen in the past with other groups. Uh-huh. But it's still problems that game masters have to face, especially when they're new game masters or it's a new group, that sort of thing. They're bringing in new people.
Uh-huh.
New players suck.
Well, and
they really do.
Going back to stories to shows we've done before, one of the lines was, don't disrespect the players. Some of them are learning. Some of them are, you know, new to this system. Some of them are just, you know, they just don't like the idea that they came up with and they want to do something different. But then they also have to show you the same respect back. Until one or the other has proven that they don't deserve your respect, you give them respect and you do your best to make it happen, one way or the other.
That seems reasonable. Although I would say the DM is always deserving of respect regardless, period.
No. No, I've played with some DMs who do not deserve one bit of respect.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Asshole.
Some people just shouldn't be allowed behind the screen.
Well, and, you know, for those people, here's a module. Run this instead.
They'd still screw that up.
Making games. Yes, but they're less likely to screw that up. I know a DM who absolutely sucked at making games, but could run modules really well.
Anyway, suddenly we're overdue. So we should probably close. Do you have any final thoughts?
No.
Okay. That's simple enough. Well, till next time. I'm sorry. Till next time.
What are you saying? I've already said that, so yeah.
Third try. Till next time. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Valus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at scoreme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.